We begin our chapel today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for today comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Did you catch the two emotions in our text this morning? You might have. One of them is the emotion joy. What brings you joy? Maybe it's the laugh of a child. Maybe it's a beautiful sunrise over the wide open plains or mountains. Maybe it's the satisfaction of a job well done after hours of hard work. Maybe it's having fun with friends and family. Maybe it's that email from Dr. Dan saying there's a snow day today. Did you catch the other emotion? The other emotion in our text, shame. What causes you shame? Maybe it's going out in public with a stain on your shirt. Maybe it was being called out by your teacher for some misbehavior in class. Maybe it's being faced with the guilt of that sin you struggle with over and over. Our list of things that bring us shame in our lives would probably be just as long, if not even longer. These two emotions, joy and shame, can be powerful motivators. On the one hand, we are motivated by things that bring us joy. The joy that we know we will feel after a job well done is what keeps us going. The joy of laughter and spending time with family and friends is what causes us to make time to spend with those we love and love to be with. The joy we get from being in certain places and seeing awesome sights in nature keeps us returning to those places to experience that feeling again and again. On the other hand, things that bring us shame are things we tend to try to avoid, cover up, or not look forward to. We may try to cover up that stain, make a lame excuse to our teacher, or tune out our guilty conscience when it nags us about that sin. Things that cause us shame are things that, at the very least, we try to cover up, and at the very most, we try to get out of altogether. In the beginning of the second chapter of the book of Hebrews, the writer is speaking to us about our race of faith, the journey from becoming children of God all the way to our consummation in faith when we reach the goal of heaven. In the verse of our text, the writer speaks of our motivation in that race, the one to whom we should look as we journey in our lives of faith. He tells us that while we are running, we are to be looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus is the one who sent his Spirit to originate our faith at our baptisms, and who will bring our faith to completion when we leave this earth and join the saints in heaven. When we look to Jesus, what do we see? We see him motivated by both of these emotions, joy and shame, but in very different ways. The verse continues, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame." When Jesus began his work and ministry, he knew exactly what he was going to have to go through to complete it. He would have to endure horrible suffering. In this season of Lent, we are meditating on that suffering that he had to endure. Beatings, bruised, mocked, insulted, spit on, teased, and rejected. And one of the worst punishments ever devised by man, death by crucifixion. All of these were going to be his fate. And worst of all, he would be rejected by his own Father because he was covered by our shameful sins and those of every human being that has lived and would ever live. What shame, what humiliation. Paul writes of this in Philippians, "And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And yet, knowing all of this was coming, he still completed his work. He didn't try to avoid it, get out of it, ignore it, or just push it aside. He willingly took it on. He didn't dwell on it or let it hinder his work one bit. He despised it, just as if he said, I know this is going to be horrible, humiliating, painful, and shameful, but I don't care. I'm doing it anyway. We might ask why. Why would he go through all of this? Well, the answer is the other emotion we spoke of, joy. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame? What joy would motivate Christ to endure the cross and despise the shame that he was about to go through? What could possibly bring anyone the amount of joy necessary to be willing to go through that much shame to achieve it? For Christ, it was simple. It was a third motivating emotion. It was love. We hear in the letter to the Romans about that love. God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ's great love for us meant that what would bring him the most joy was to have us be with him in heaven. As Martin Luther says in his explanation to the second article, all this he did, that I should be his own and live with him in his heavenly kingdom. Just as we desire to do things that bring us joy, to a much greater extent, the greatest desire of Christ, the joy that he had in mind, motivating him through all the shameful suffering, insults, humiliation, death, and God-forsakenness he endured, was us, you and me. The knowledge that we would be his again, with him forever in heaven. Christ is now restored to glory in heaven, where he is preparing a place for us and ruling over his church on earth, ready to receive us into joy forevermore. So what motivates us? Is it joy or shame? Well, the writer of the Hebrews gives us a far greater motivation. He is telling us that Christ should be what we look to as we carry on our lives of faith. His willingness to endure shame and death of the cross, that should be our motivation throughout all of the ups and downs of our faith lives. When we achieve great accomplishments, look to Jesus in thanks and give him the glory. When we begin new and seemingly difficult tasks, look to Jesus for strength. When we experience the joys and pleasures of this life, look to Jesus in praise. When we struggle with sins and guilt, look to Jesus for forgiveness. And when we at last leave this veil of tears, look to Jesus in faith to take us home. As we continue our lives of faith in the time of grace that God has given us, let us look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now sitting at the right hand of God. Praise be to him forever and ever. Amen. We'll close this morning by singing hymn 453, verses 1, 5, and 7. 453, 1, 5, and 7.